Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Garland. For those of you who are new to the Dallas area, this is what we call a dry Sunday. We finally have one. That's amazing. It's been a lot of damage, a lot of pain for people, and we pray that that'll all be taken care of quickly as they recover. But anyway, thank you for being here. We are grateful that you're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here. We're grateful that you're here. Your Holy Spirit is welcome here. And we look forward to the movement of your Holy Spirit amongst us today as the praise and worship comes forth and as the teachings come forth. We ask that you watch over and protect all of us as we are gathered together and as we go about the activities of our days in the days ahead. We thank you for protecting us in the midst of the storms and all the time, Lord. Your hand is upon us. And we are grateful that you are our God and Savior and King. We are grateful that you are our firm rock and our salvation in these very difficult times, politically and in every other way. We know that you are there for us always and that we are on the firm rock of salvation that you've provided. Thank you that we are part of your forever family, that we have an eternity with you, and we are living that now and on into eternity. Help us to be ambassadors for you in everything we do, in our work, in our interactions with our families, with everyone we have contact with. Let your love flow through us and to those that you may be glorified and that they may come to a saving relationship with you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless those who will be teaching today and those who will be leading praise and worship. And we just ask, Lord, that we will use those things that you show us today to bless others for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we have a special guest this morning to lead us in worship, the group which are become our good friends, Temple Vale, D-Rock and Bryson. So if you guys would come on up and if you as a body would stand as we enter into the presence of the Lord to worship. It's a tremendous pleasure to have them here. And they have a table in the back hallway with coffee that helps support missions in Thailand. And you can interact with them and talk with them, a great group. So let's worship the Lord together.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? And hello to you folks out there online. I hope you're doing well. If you can hear us and stuff, just type a one and we'll keep on moving.
Alive. All
All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn to lie at you. You go. You call my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name. Now your mercy. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew Jesus when I met you. You go. You call my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You got my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are. Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day, you call my name. Maybe for some of you guys, but if you listen to K-Love or Air One or KLTY, then you may have heard it. It's called Praise, and it goes like this. I'm going to need some a little bit of participation from you guys. I'm going to go first. Like, it's kind of one of those repeat after me songs, if you know what that is like. So I'll be like, let everything, has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, all right? You ready to try this? All right, here we go. We're going to try this, all right? I'm a little nervous. Online, you can go ahead and type it in. All right, here we go. So there's a rhythm right here. So let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, we're good. Ready? Here we go. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm praising the mountain. I'll praise you when I'm sure, praise you when I'm doubting. I'll praise you when outnumbered, praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemy's drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I praise when I'm feeling, praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. My praise isn't women, it's more the sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. I praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you're red. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't, 'cause I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't, 'cause I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? I won't, 'cause I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How could I keep it inside? Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, you guys, go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead, have a seat. If you want to stay standing, you are more than welcome to stand and keep praising the Lord. You can do that too. Oh, man, I can tell you now that this has been a very interesting journey for us to get here, to be here this morning. Bryson had a guitar mishap, and man, since we've been out on the road, it has been nothing but a serious, serious, like, spiritual warfare. So definitely, if anything, please pray for us as we go out to camp this week. We're going to be leading a bunch of kiddos and stuff to Christ. So fallen down in worship, they sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Oh, sing the song forever and amen. The greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Repeated, all them. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries. God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. He's coming. He's coming on the clouds. King and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. And so open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who's come to save, is here to set the captives free. For who could stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 every knee will bow before Him. Oh, 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 oh. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that we get to worship you, Lord, in this country. And speaking of countries, Lord, there's a lot of countries right now that are under siege. There are countries that are just like going off the chain, Lord. But we thank you that we get to worship you here in the U.S. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you give us here, that we get to do this, that we get to worship you on a Sunday, a Wednesday, and every day of the week, Lord. It is your goodness, Lord, man, that is so awesome. Although we don't deserve it, Lord, but you give it to us anyway. So, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, if there are some of us who are struggling, Lord, and there are some of us that are financially struggling, there are some of us that are spiritually struggling, Lord, and there are some of us that are just sitting at home and wondering what we're going to do next. Lord, I pray that you just guide our steps. Again, Lord, it is your goodness that always conquers all, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
And all my life you have been so good.
goodness of God. All my life. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing the goodness of God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this time of worship. Lord, as we continue on worshiping, Lord, I just pray that we listen to you, your word, hear your voice. Thank you so much. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you very much. What a great joy it is to be able to worship the Lord together. Let me give you an extra thing to worship the Lord for. These guys are here, and they've mentioned that sort of a series of spiritual warfares. But what you may not know is that the tall one who's moving around the most, Bryson, was hit by a truck not too long ago, and they told him he would never be able to walk again. He had to relearn how to walk, and obviously... he's dancing up here, so praise the Lord. The goodness of our God and how great our God is. So this morning we're going to have the kids come in just a few minutes, but I'm going to go over a few announcements with you. And then we'll have the kids come in. We'll do the promotion Sunday. And then I'll get to share with you for about 3 hours. You ready? Right? All right. No. One verse I'd like to share with you, because it relates to my message later, is out of Micah chapter 4. It says this, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And this prophecy has really a dual fulfillment. One that we'll talk about later this morning, and that is John the Baptist coming in the spirit or the sense of Elijah, calling people to repentance. And then, of course, a future looking forward to the day when Elijah, one of the two prophets, will prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so God is faithful, whether it's in a song that we're singing, getting us here this morning, or faithful to help us to raise children to the point that we can promote them from one grade to another. I want to remind you of our Mexico missions trip that we'll be leaving next week. So if you would pray for us, pray for the Lord's protection, guidance, and direction as we head to Mexico. I want to remind you, if you have an electronic device of some sort that makes noises, if you would silence it if you haven't already. And then also, since we're promoting children, remind you that in a month we'll have our Vacation Bible School right here. So please sign children up. If you have kids, sign them up. If you're an aunt or an uncle, grab them, convince their parents to let you sign them up. And in the evenings, they'll come here and have a great time as they venture through Rome. And what we do is we redecorate the entire church and we set it up to look like Rome so that the kids can be totally immersed in Rome as they learn their Bible lessons. But we could use your help, not only bringing kids, signing kids up, but also your help in providing supplies and serving. So see Lydia Hyatt. There's many opportunities to serve. So please see Lydia Hyatt for that. And we don't want to leave the youth out. So we have a youth camp as Bryson and D-Rock are heading this week to minister at a youth camp. We will have our own youth camp later in July. And so again, youth, you're welcome. Please come. Parents, get rid of your kids for a week. You love your teenagers. I know that. But please send them to camp so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And please do not let finances keep you from sending your child or for as a youth for you going. If you would like to go and finances are an issue, please let us know and we'll see what the Lord does. The Lord has provided us with some funds, so please see Pastor Taylor for a sign up or go to the Church Center app to sign up. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time to worship you together. Father, we thank you for the children who are here this morning that we will be recognizing. Thank you for Temple Vale and just them being here this morning to share with us in music. Lord, may we be an encouragement to them. And may you give us wisdom to nurture these children in your ways. And Father, I pray for a special blessing upon every family, every parent, Lord. Give them supernatural wisdom that comes from you to raise their children in your ways. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's take a moment and say hello to one another. Stand up and say hi to somebody near you. All right. All right. Great to have you here this morning. Again, what a blessing to have Temple Vale with us this morning. And speaking of blessings, what a blessing it is to see children grow and to see them sort of progress to the next grade level or next classrooms and things like that. And so this morning we're taking some time to remember, to honor them, and to ask you to pray for them, their parents, and the teachers in the classroom. So I'm going to turn it over to Josh and Rochelle as they announce to you who's being promoted from one grade level to the next. Josh, would you come on up?
I'm sorry. Good morning. Pastor Dunn, you say we got about 35 minutes to do this? All right. Good morning, everybody. So it is a blessing to see everybody here today and celebrate time of graduation. I know all the kids graduate from their public schools and all that, but it's a bigger blessing, I think, for us to see them graduating spiritually from one class to the other. Again, if you guys ever have the opportunity, I know there's all the teachers here. It is kind of amazing. Listening to all the kids, just the things that they understand of the Lord. With that said, we'll kind of get in here kind of quick and easy. So we have nursery moving to the toddlers, pre-K to first to third, and the first to third moving up to the third through fifth. And we do have one lady moving up to the youth, which is going to be pretty cool. Should I call them down like the price is right? Come on down. Okay. We have from the nursery moving to the toddlers. First, River Sear. She is a daughter of Sean and Mary Sear. River, come on down. There you go. It's pretty good, yeah. Okay. Say, ooh. All right. Next, we have Clark Hyatt. He is the son of Taylor and Lydia Hyatt. Come on, stand here next to River, buddy. All right. And then they're not here yet, but we have Joel Silva. He is the son of Victor and Deborah Silva. Moving up from pre-K in kindergarten to the first through third, we have Jack Hyatt. Can you come up, Jack? He is the son of Taylor and Lydia Hyatt. And we also have Mia Holloway. She is a daughter of Michael and Alexis Holloway. All right. Now, from first through third, going up to the third through fifth intensive, three of these ladies are not here. We have one here, but we'll still mention them. We have Kimani Garrett. She is the daughter of Desmond Garrett and the granddaughter of Tony Garrett. We have Jillian Hardy. Now, these three next young ladies, we didn't get an opportunity to move them up last year to recognize them, so we want to do it this year for them. The next two, they actually moved up a little early. So we have Jillian Hardy, the daughter of James and Kristen Hardy. We have Michaela Holloway, the daughter of Michael and Alexis Holloway. And we have Layla Lopez, the daughter of Justin and Isabella Lopez. And from the third through fifth or elementary school class going up to the youth, we have two ladies. One is not here today. Her name is Madison Davis. She's a little newer, daughter of Rod and Cressilim Davis. And we have Miss Anaya Whaley, daughter of Char Starling. So these are all the kids promoting for the children's ministry. If you have an opportunity, tell them, hey, good job, thank you, whatever it is. I'm telling you, they will knock your socks off with the stuff that they understand in the Word. I'll just pray for them real quick, and then we'll pass it on to Taylor. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity for us and all the teachers to be able to minister to these kids. Teach them the spiritual aspect of life, what is in your word, and how you call us to live. And Father, I just pray that you continue to bless them, continue to guide them in their lives, and that they continue to grow in their love and their knowledge and the grace of your word, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all give it up for our graduates one more time. We're just going to show the video in a minute. Hi, I'm Pastor Taylor, if you do not know who I am. I'm the youth pastor here, and we got two graduates, and I'm super excited. First of all, thank you to John Weidman, who put together the video for our two graduates, and I'm going to hand it off to our tech team to show that video.
How could I express all my I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart. I surrender humbly.
I could have, yes, this is awesome. Davion and Floor, would you guys pop on up here? She's around, I know, yep. See, this is really sweet because I've known Davion for a long time. In fact, I taught, man, how many VBSs was I your teacher for like years? So it's really sweet in that way. And then I know Floor hates this, and so it's so great. So I get both of it, it's awesome. Graduations are incredible. They're an incredible time of remembrance, of celebration, and anticipation of what's coming. We're remembering 18 years of sibling rivalries, of forgotten homework, sports practices, arguments, tears, and even successes. We celebrate the closing of this chapter of our lives and moving into a new independence, truly. And we look with anticipation to the future ahead for each of you, and specifically in excitement for what the Lord is going to do with each of you. As I prayed over what the Lord would have me share this morning for each of you and with you two, God laid it on my heart to look at Hebrews chapter 12, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and sin that easily entangles, and let us run the race with endurance, the race set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." God has an incredible life set out before you. We are gathered here, blessed to be the cloud of witnesses who get to run this race with you, but recognize that with new life circumstances comes new obstacles, unique temptations, and a myriad of trials ahead of you too. I don't say this to scare you. I say this to say that we run this race and we have a decision with each and every step that we take. Is my life going to be about me, what I want and how I can achieve it, or about how, who God is, who he has called me to be, and how I can run with him? The author of Hebrews gives us a great perspective on what running the race and specifically finishing the race looks like. It looks like fixing our eyes on Jesus. Encouraging friends, a close family, teachers, and even pastors are great, but they truly pale in comparison to the glory that is following Christ. As the two of you embark on this next season of life with all the questions, the new discoveries, and the struggles, remember that there is a calling on your lives greater than fame and fortune and accolades.
You are children of God, sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go is an opportunity to exhibit your actions and share with your lips the life that you have found in the relationship with Jesus Christ, that you may have run your race and finished your calling, that you may stand before God and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I get the privilege, if Lydia, if you want to grab the books here, of announcing these two. I'm going to start with Davion since he started closest. Davion graduated from Lancaster High School with an associate's through the STEM program there. He plans on working. Yeah, give it up. He plans on working for the trucking company that his parents have, getting his CDL, and going to school to learn HVAC. Davion, in his text to me when I asked him what his plans were after high school, one of the things that he expressed at the bottom that I just couldn't not put in here, you know, we talk about the graduation, the school, all these kinds of things, but one of the things that he put in his text that really touched me, I think is very important to add, is Davion said that he most importantly wants to further his relationship with Jesus Christ, and I thought that was a beautiful thing for him to add in there. So it's kind of a gift that I got as a graduate. We give each of our students the evidence that demands a verdict, which I think is a great book to have, especially when you go to college. Floor graduated from Townview High School, science and engineering there. She plans on attending. Yeah, give it up. Yeah. She plans on attending Texas A&M University and majoring in biology. Yeah. Give it up for our graduates. If I could have the pastors and elders come up here, we're going to pray over our graduates. Sorry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Floor and for Davion. We thank you for your blessing on their lives. We thank you for the time that we have gotten to engage with them from child to young adulthood. Lord, we lift up this time of transition for them as they move into new areas of life with work, with school, with family, with friends. Lord, we lift all of these areas up to you. We thank you, Lord, for their relationship with you, that you've revealed yourself to them. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to speak truth into their lives and they would continue to seek after you with all that they are. Lord, we pray for Davion as he moves into this season to get his CDL and to study HVAC. Lord, what a blessing to have a man of integrity who follows Christ in these industries. Lord, and for Flora, as she goes to A&M, as she studies there, Lord, we pray for just a blessing over her studies. Lord, her time there to minister to other youth or to other young adults, to other college students there and to be ministered to. Lord, we thank you for their time here and the blessing that they've been in the youth group. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Congratulations. All right. As the children make their way out, would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke? And if you don't happen to have a Bible with you, you can turn in an electronic version or a paper version. But if you don't have a Bible with you, if you'd raise your hand and we'll have somebody deliver a Bible to you so that you can follow along this morning. As we continue, we started last week in the Gospel of Luke, and we'll work week by week through the Gospel of Luke. You may recall from last week that Luke begins by just simply announcing or declaring the purpose of his writing. What he had done is there was a number of sort of incomplete or incomplete versions of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ at the time that Luke was around. And so what he did is he gathered those things. He also interviewed eyewitnesses, and then he put it down in what you and I might call a complete order, and specifically chronologically. The other gospel accounts, there's nothing wrong with them, but they weren't designed intentionally to be a chronological events of the life of Jesus. So as we turn to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5 this morning, we're going to find sort of the precursor to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Luke also records for us the birth of Jesus that we'll get into Luke chapter 2. But prior to the birth of Jesus, we have this morning a birth announcement. not the announcement of Jesus' birth, but the forerunner. Remember, I talked with you a little bit during the announcements about Micah chapter 4. You know, God promised that he would send Elijah or somebody in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Messiah. John the Baptist is not the Messiah, but his ministry was to call people to repentance so that they would be ready for the Messiah. But even before John the Baptist was born, miracles were happening. And that's what Luke records for us. Father, as we turn to your word this morning, Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your spirit. That, Lord, as we read and recount the account of the miracle of the conception of John the Baptist, Father, would it fill us with hope? Father, would it strengthen us to continue in our walks with you? For Father, I know that within this room there are many who have struggled, many who have had long-term prayer issues that don't seem to ever be answered. And yet, Lord, we'll see this morning that you are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, Luke is writing to Theophilus, the most excellent Theophilus. I tend to think that he was an official in the Roman government, perhaps even in Paul's defense. So Luke is going all the way back, and he says here in verse 5, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judah. Now, it's important for us to understand in the Bible there are two different Herods. There's a Herod that was around during the time and ministry of Jesus. This particular Herod, sometimes called Herod the Great, was around during the birth of Jesus. Two different Herods. This Herod was known for being a great builder. He built, maybe you've seen or heard about this fortress called Masada that lives out in the desert overlooking the Dead Sea. He built that, but he didn't build it for grandeur. He built it because he was scared of the people. He was called king, but he wasn't Jewish. He's actually of Esau's descent, or an Edomite. And so he was afraid of the people, although he had the position of being in power. So notice that Luke, being a scientific man, a doctor, remember that was his profession, a doctor, nails certain things down. He wants us to know that at a specific time in history, during Herod the Great's reign, these events happen. So Herod was king of Judah. A certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah and his wife, who was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So it's important for us to understand that only certain people within the Jewish, all the different tribes of Judah, there are 12 different tribes plus Levi, but only people from a certain tribe were allowed to be priests. In other words, allowed to minister in the temple. But by the time of John the Baptist, there were so many, there were about 20,000 men that were eligible for the priesthood. Obviously, not everybody can serve in the temple simultaneously. 20,000 people can't serve in the temple. And we'll see that they had come up with a sort of a lottery system. Different families would be allotted a certain season or time to minister. And then within that family, they would draw lots for who got to do what. And we'll see this. But the point here is that they were fearful or respectful of God. They were devout in their walks with God. They were people of right standing from those around them. And because of this, God specifically chose them. They were both righteous, verse 6, before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, this doesn't mean that they were sinless. It doesn't mean that they never made any sins or mistakes. What it means in the legal traditions of following the Lord and following the Jewish laws, nobody could find any fault. In other words, they kept the Sabbath day. They didn't steal from people. They didn't murder anybody. They weren't cheating on one another or anything else. They were good, upstanding people. In our vernacular today, this might be you and I looking at somebody and say, there is a good Christian. We're not saying that they're perfect or sinless, but we're saying there's a good person that follows the Lord. They're involved in their church. They try to raise their family in godly ways. They're a good employee at work. and all those sorts of things. You know, they pay their taxes and things like that. We would just say, we might look around even in this room and say, well, there's a couple, there's people that are faithfully following the Lord. And that's what Luke is recording for us. Verse 7, but there was a problem, and especially in the Jewish culture. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in age. You see, in today's culture, it's not such a big deal if you don't have children. But in the ancient world, children were everything. Today, we have things like Social Security or 401ks or retirement accounts. Guess what you had back in John the Baptist's day? You had your kids. And you hoped you have lots of kids, and you'd want especially boys. So the idea was that your boy would take over your family business and then could support you in your old age. That was their retirement plan. It was also a stature, honor for you to have many children, and especially children that were respectful to the Lord, and that you would be able to sort of brag in your community. Yeah, that's my boy. Yes, that's my daughter. And that sort of idea. Even parents today, we are excited. We're excited to see these two graduate from high school. We're looking forward to be able to hear reports of how they're doing with the Lord and doing with their career path and that sort of thing. It brings great joy. I can tell you as a father, it brings great joy to me personally to see my children walking with the Lord. But it brings great joy to every child. But if you don't have a child this morning, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But in this culture, they were ostracized. The thought was, now this wasn't biologically correct, but the thought was if a woman did not conceive of a child, there was something wrong with her. And it wasn't thought, well, there's something wrong with her medically. It was more thought there's something wrong with her fundamentally. The reason God didn't bless her with a child is because God somehow is cursing her or not showing favor. That, I'm not saying this is biblical correct, but this is the attitude of their culture. And so it would be something that would be a heavy burden on them. So it was, verse 8, that while he was serving as priest before the Lord in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. I already shared with you, there were about 20,000 men that were from the tribe of Levi that were authorized to be priests. Of all of those, they would have a random system for different family groups to be eligible to become the priest or to serve in the temple. But within that family, think of your own family. I don't know how large or small your family comes from, but think of your family and all the men in your family. That'd be all your uncles, your nephews, and everything else. And then every once in a while, you would get drawn to serve in the temple. Essentially, what this was once, not in a year, once in a lifetime, the privilege to go into the temple and to serve the Lord, to burn the incense, was once in a lifetime event. Now, if you recall, the temple itself was divided into two essential areas. You had the Holy of Holies that the high priest could only go into once a year. And he had to go through a ceremony and had to offer sacrifices for himself. And that he would sacrifice the blood of the animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant was there. But outside of that was the holy place, which had several things. We think of it as the menorah, the candlestand, a table for showbread, and especially or additionally, this table of incense, where they would offer up incense to the Lord, burn it to the Lord as a symbol of their prayers going up to the Lord. So this was a once in a lifetime experience for him to be able to be in there and to serve the Lord in this capacity. And the whole multitude, so while he's inside, the whole multitude is standing outside, not out in the sort of the courtyard area, waiting for his report. And the typical thing would go like this. Priest would go in, do the duties of, if you're familiar with it, a little fire, charcoal or something else like that, and you sprinkle the incense on top of it. The incense burns. The smoke goes up, sweet-smelling, savory smoke would go up. He would do this, and then he would just turn around and walk out, and then he'd pronounce a blessing upon all those who were gathered there. This was a daily process. In this particular case, something unusual happens. So while the whole multitude, verse 10, of the people were praying outside the hour of incense, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, what's interesting is we don't know what angels really look like. Let me give you a couple of clues. I'll tell you what they're not. They're not fat little babies with tiny little wings on their back. That is not an angel, okay? That's our illustration, our imagery. Angels are sometimes described for us as great, mighty fortresses or mighty beings with great power, great abilities. Angels are, by the way, created beings. They're created by God. Their primary role is to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he might have. When we turn to the book of Revelation, we find some angels that have specific roles, cherubim. The specific role is to surround the throne room of God and to worship the Lord. Other angels are messengers and doing different things. This one happens to be, as we'll find out, the angel Gabriel. I have a picture up here for you, but that is not what Gabriel looks like. I don't know what he looks like, but he doesn't look like that. It's the best picture I could find. But the idea, of course, is as he was ministering and putting the incense onto this fire, and it was floating up, that off to his right-hand side, this guy showed up and began to talk to him. Angels may not show up with wings. I don't know where we get this idea of wings for angels. Maybe it's because they are supernatural beings. They're still created by God, but they have abilities beyond our abilities. In other words, they're not limited like us. Matter of fact, in the book of Daniel, about 500 years prior to these events, the same angel announces things to Daniel, gives him an interpretation of dreams. So Gabriel is used multiple times by the Lord, and he still looks the same. He doesn't look old. He's not decrepit or anything else because he doesn't have a physical body that decays like us. Gabriel is also used in the announcement towards Mary, the mother of Jesus. So he is used in multiple roles, but this particular case is a unique one. So the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Every time you read that in the Bible, when somebody has an encounter with an angel or with the Lord himself, and the Lord says, "Do not be afraid," why is that? Because it's a scary experience. You're in this holy place. No one else is allowed in there. You're in there by yourself, and then all of a sudden, this dude shows up. I don't know about you, but that would scare me. And to have somebody representing the Lord, that would make me fearful in the human natural flesh. And so the first response from the angel is to say to him, "Don't freak out. It's okay. It's going to be all right. You're not having a nightmare. You're not having an hallucination. It's not the incense that's causing an allergic reaction or anything else." He's just saying, "Chill. It's okay. I've got a message. Do not be afraid." And then he calls him by name, Zacharias. "For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." What prayer? Well, prayer for a son. Remember when Luke introduced this, it told us that not only was Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth barren, but they were beyond the physical ability to have children. They were decrepit or old. From a natural perspective, there was no way for them to have children. And yet, he had been praying for this for years and years to have a child. And yet now, I would guess that by this point, he has become sort of tired of praying. Anybody ever do something like that? Where you've been praying for a long time. Maybe it's for your own child. You've been praying for a prodigal child. Or maybe you're praying for some other issue in your life, and you've just been praying, and you've been praying, and there's no answer. There's no movement that you can see, and it's a tendency for us to get what? Discouraged. Why, God? Can you imagine Elizabeth and Zacharias? Everyone else is having children. Maybe a day like today would be a difficult day for them. I wish I had a child in the children's ministry. I wish I had a child that by now would have graduated high school. I wish that I could have had this or that, but I don't. Can you relate to them, that frustration? I'm not saying that they doubted God or that they gave up on God, because God introduced them through Luke as righteous individuals, but yet their hearts ache. They've been praying for so long, and it doesn't seem like the Lord is ever going to answer their prayer. And I want to encourage you this morning through Luke chapter 1. Do not give up. If you have been praying for a friend, a family member to come to know Jesus Christ, if you've been praying for a prodigal daughter or a son, then do not give up on them. Don't stop praying for them. Pray for them every time they come to mind. Do not stop reaching out to them in the love of Jesus. Don't stop sending them those text messages or those emails or whatever way that you might be able to communicate with them to remind them of your love for them and the God's love for them. Don't give up on that. Maybe, again, you have a family member that is just absolutely opposed to God. And every time you even bring up the subject of God, they just get upset with you and more angry. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Until they breathe their last, there's always that opportunity for God to perform a miracle. A miracle is anytime anybody comes to faith in Jesus Christ. I understand that it can become tiring and wearisome, and in our flesh we can grow weary and tired and think that somehow God, I must have done something wrong because God didn't answer my prayer. God what? And notice as we go through this, Zacharias isn't a man of great faith. Oh, he's a righteous man. He's a man that fears God. But the text is going to relate to us that he wasn't a man of great faith, because here the angel shows up and says, don't be afraid. In another verse, he's going to say, how do I know it's really true? Can you imagine that? You've been praying all your life for this miracle, and then an angel shows up and says to you, don't be afraid. And then the angel says, I'm going to answer that prayer. And your response is, how do I know that's really true? You see that? And I think we struggle with that sometimes. So the angel says to him, you and your wife. And then not only that, very specifically, you will call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. You see, his birth is not just for his wife Elizabeth. The birth is for the entire world. This child that is not yet conceived, but will be conceived, that is not yet grown, is going to turn into what we call John the Baptist. And we are going to rejoice. The world today, we celebrate John the Baptist. He is such a unique and special man for all of the world. Yet he begins with his dad just simply doing what he's supposed to do. From an outside perspective, it just happened to be that the lot fell to him. Nothing supernatural about it, it would appear. Sometimes God works in what we might call natural ways supernaturally. Have you ever had something happen in your life? Maybe the road was closed this morning and you were planning to go a certain direction and the road was closed. But understand that God is still directing your path. Maybe you had all kinds of great plans. You were going to go do this. And the doors never opened for you to do that. And you ended up going a different direction. And God is in that. God is in that. So this is what's happening. John the Baptist is going to bless. We are blessed this morning because John the Baptist announced for us the ministry of Jesus Christ, but also for the people of his day. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So he's going to be raised as a Nazirite, a Nazirite vow. The Nazirite vow was essentially this: no alcohol whatsoever, not even touching anything coming from the grapevine, which would include raisins, what we might call grape juice. None of that was he to touch, nor was he to touch any sort of dead animal, nor was he to have his hair cut. Later on in the Gospels, we discover this wild-looking man out in the wilderness because he's never cut his hair, wearing what you and I might call a camel skin, and he's got a rough leather belt, and he's eating locusts and wild honey, and he's declaring to people, repent. But he was born this way. He was raised this way to be a sort of the oddball dedicated to the Lord. So he's to be raised from his birth with this Nazirite vow. And the basic idea of the Nazirite vow is he's dedicated to the Lord. And then additionally, verse 15, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. We won't get to it this morning, but next week we'll get to it. We'll find the embryos or the fetuses, or as I prefer to call it, the unborn child, both in Elizabeth and later on in Mary, responding to their greetings together. What you and I can't understand oftentimes in a human way is that John the Baptist, as a baby in his mother's womb, reacted and responded because he had an encounter with Jesus, who was also a baby in the mother, in his mother's womb, Mary. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. How did John the Baptist have this boldness to proclaim to the religious leaders of his day, turn, you're hypocrites, repent, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me say this to each of us. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives, don't we? We need to yield and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. There may be times where the Holy Spirit says to you to do something, and it may not make sense to anybody else. But as a faithful follower of God, you need to follow what the Lord says. Maybe it's handing a bottle of water out to somebody on a street corner. You're like, that sounds really weird. But okay, Lord, I'll do it. And you'll leave the results up to the Lord. Maybe the Lord's calling you to travel someplace or to pray for us specifically, because a group of us next week are going to Mexico. And within that group, others have responded to what they feel is the calling of the Lord to go. And so would you continue to pray for them? Maybe you're called by the Lord to serve during VBS. You're like, I don't want to do anything with kids. I don't like kids. And yet the Holy Spirit, even right now, is tugging on your heart to serve. And let me say to you, yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. You might say, but I don't know what to say to kids. I'll say this. The Holy Spirit will give you the right utterance at the right time for that specific child. And so if God is calling you to do that, do it. Now, please, I'm not up here trying to twist your arm. I am, but a little bit, but not too much. I want you to be yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And ask the Lord to guide you and to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets a bad rap. Because we hear oftentimes about, well, what about these sign gifts, the gifts of tongues or prophecies and these things. And so sometimes in the church world, we shun it. We don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit, or we don't want to be exposed to it because that's those weird people over there. Let me say this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, joy. And yes, God sometimes supernaturally empowers you to do things. But the fundamental fruit of the Holy Spirit is this walk with God. The things that get everybody else upset should not get you upset, because you are what? Walking in the Spirit. This is not intended to be a Bible study about the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to continue to move on. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. There's no greater calling than that. And that doesn't mean that you're an evangelist or a missionary or a pastor. It means that you just simply share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist specifically has a blessed ministry. Verse 17, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. This is the idea that the spirit of Elijah, this one calling people to repentance, calling people to a dependence upon God, is how John the Baptist is going to work. John the Baptist is not Elijah coming back, but he is working in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is working within his life, and he's calling people to repentance. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to call us. God wants to work within you like he worked in Elijah, like he worked in Daniel, like he worked in Paul or Peter's life or whoever else you might want to look up. You want to look up Ruth or Esther or somebody else in the Bible and see how God worked in their life. Guess what? That same God wants to work in your life that very same way. And Zacharias said to the angel, here's where we know he didn't have much faith, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in age. We have this complaint oftentimes. I can't do that. I physically can't do that. Maybe God is calling you to do something, and you're like, I can't do that. I don't. Maybe God's calling you to go on a missions trip somewhere. And you're like, but I can't because I don't like bugs. And the only thing I ever hear about is bugs. And by the way, the bugs there are big or whatever else it might be. Or maybe I can't share with somebody at work because I'm afraid I'm going to get fired. Or maybe somebody's rejected your message about Jesus Christ and you're afraid of being rejected again. God would say to you, don't be afraid. Follow me. In this specific case, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, says to Zechariah, he says to him specifically, you're going to have a son. This thing that you've been praying for all of your adult life, I'm going to do it. And what's his response? I'm too old. Does that remind you of anybody else throughout the Bible? How about Abraham and Sarah? God says to Abraham, you're going to have a child. He says, how's that going to happen? I'm too old. They try for a little while. They get no child. So then they say, well, let's come up with another scheme. And you remember from the Old Testament, Sarah offers her handmaiden, which was culturally acceptable, but biblically wrong. And so they produce this offspring called Ishmael. But that wasn't the promised one, not until later. What I'm saying to you is that God will work his ways, even when it doesn't make human sense. God will work if you will allow him. So here, again, he says, how can I? I'm too old and my wife is too old. Verse 19, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. It was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. Notice the angel is not saying, look, I'm the angel and you got to listen to me. Instead, he's saying, I'm a messenger from God and you got to listen to God. And then he goes on, but behold, you shall be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in your own time. Because he lacked faith, he's going to be mute or unable to speak until his son is born. That is the evidence that Gabriel gives him that what he says is true. But let me ask you this. How then, if he didn't have faith, how then did God perform this miracle? In some circles, we think that God needs our faith in order to work. He didn't believe. You see, God is not limited by our human ability. God is able to work even when you are tired and you don't believe God is able to. God is able to work in rescuing that soul that you think is beyond the ability of God to rescue. God is able to do that, not because you muster up enough faith. Now, should we have faith? Absolutely. Will our faith and will our experience with God be tremendous if we walk in faith? Absolutely. But God is not limited by your ability to have faith, nor is God limited by your ability to be faithful. The gospel message will go forward no matter what, whether you are involved in it or not. You get blessed to be a part of God's work. We'll have Vacation Bible School. A group will go down to Mexico, and God will bless both of those endeavors. But if you don't join in prayer, if you don't join in participating in one form or another, you won't be a part of that blessing. And those who are willing to step out will be a part of that blessing. Maybe it's children's ministry. Maybe it's something else. The idea is that you get to be an active participant and you get to be blessed. But please don't limit God to think that he can only work if you do certain things. Verse 21, and the people awaited Zacharias and marveled how he lingered so long in the temple. The normal process, go in, dump the stuff on top of the fire, incense, and then go out. But instead, he's having this full-on conversation with this angel, so he's delayed. And they're like, what's going on? Something weird, unusual is happening. And he came out, verse 22, and he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had a vision in the temple. And he beckoned to them and remained speechless. He didn't have American Sign Language. He didn't have Rebecca or Mary to be able to interpret for them. He wasn't able to say anything. He just sort of used hand motions and whatever else he could do. But he wasn't able to share with them the story. Then how do we know this story? Because after his son was born, he was able to speak. And he told everyone the story. Verse 23, so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. So he would spend about a week in Jerusalem, in the temple area, doing his service, once in a lifetime thing, and then he returned home. This was probably his once and only time to be able to serve in the temple of the Lord. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Elizabeth conceived not by supernatural means, but by natural means that God blessed. Do you understand that every single child is a blessing from the Lord? Every child is a blessing from the Lord. Some children test your patience along the way, but they're still a blessing from the Lord. The fact that you and I are able to have children and to conceive is a blessing from the Lord. Elizabeth conceived because God opened her womb, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. She wasn't hiding the pregnancy, but she wanted to get away to be able to seek the Lord. In the first 5 months, the pregnancy would not be obvious. It's later in the pregnancy that it becomes obvious. And there was no shame. It would be great glory to say to others, look, I'm pregnant. God has blessed me with a child. But she wanted to depart. She wanted to be able to have some time to be away. She conceived. And she didn't, again, go away to hide her pregnancy. She wanted away to be able to seek the Lord, to spend time with the Lord, to meditate on what the Lord had told her. Her husband is now telling her, or hand motioning or whatever else, that this child, because he can't speak yet, not until the child is born, this child is going to be dedicated to the Lord. From his conception till his death, he's dedicated to the Lord. I want you to remember, as you're waiting on the Lord to answer some prayer of yours, some heart desire of yours that seems to be taking forever, that it does not mean that God doesn't love you. God always loves you. He never stops loving you. If you're in the midst of a crisis personally, if you're struggling because you've been praying and God doesn't seem to answer, and the temptation is to say, well, God must not love me. Maybe I'm not spiritual enough. Maybe I need to read more of my Bible, or maybe I need to pray more, or whatever else it might be. Please understand, never think that God has stopped loving you. In the book of Romans, it tells us that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Trials, tribulations, difficulties, it will not separate us from the love of God. We're told that John the Baptist would be a huge blessing. People would come to know the Lord. But notice this. Although John the Baptist was used greatly of the Lord, according to Matthew chapter 11, he was least in the kingdom of heaven. Or put it this way, let me read it right. He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Are you in the kingdom of heaven? Have you by faith come to faith in Jesus Christ? Will you spend eternity in heaven? And if the answer is yes, then you're greater than John the Baptist. Oh, God used John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a wonderful man. But it's your faith in Jesus Christ and your walking with Jesus Christ that is greater than all the accolades that somebody else can give. This morning, what is your impossible situation? Is it a prodigal child? Is it a family relationship? Is it health issues? Whatever it might be, what area of unbelief is holding you back? Have you been waiting so long for an answer from God that you've begun to give up? Have you discounted it? Oh, God doesn't care anymore. Or maybe you've made a vow to God. Maybe in the past you made a vow to God. But because it's been such a long period and things haven't gone the way that you wanted, you've gave up on that vow. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to come into you and to fill you and to use you? Will you believe that God is able and willing to work in your life today? If you've made a promise to God, I would encourage you to keep that promise. If you haven't ever asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, I would ask that you would do that this morning. It's not going to make you some wild, crazy person, believe me. But it's really having the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But before that, have you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Have you had that experience with God where you've said to God, God, would you please forgive me? Would you come into my life and make me a new person from the inside out? Lord, would you give me a hope and a faith in you that goes beyond circumstances? If you haven't, I want to give you that opportunity this morning to do that. Maybe you're joining us online and you're just randomly clicking around. And maybe for you, this message is for you, that you would walk in faith, that God hasn't given up on you. Maybe you've done lots of things in your life and you think God is just done with me because I've messed up so much. I want you to know God is not done with you. God is not done with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he's drawing you back. And the message of John the Baptist, his ministry, was one of repentance, which means to get right with God. So as the guys come back up, would you pray with me, please? Father, I want to thank you so much for the story here of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Thank you for their example of faith or their lack of faith. And Lord, may they strengthen us and encourage us. Lord, may we be a people that walk with you. And Father, for anybody that's struggling even this morning, especially in the issue of being forgiven of their sins, Lord, I just ask that if there's somebody within our midst or somebody online, they just raise their hand and that we would be able to pray for you, to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and that you might know that you can spend eternity with God forever. All you've got to do is to pray. And prayer is just talking to God. There's no magical words, but it's something like this. Dear God, please forgive me of my sins. Please send Jesus into my heart and make me a new person from the inside out. Maybe there's somebody this morning that's struggling in some area of their life, and they know that God wants them to surrender to you, yet we're struggling. We're battling. We're fighting against the Holy Spirit. And Lord, this morning, would we just say, I give up. I stop fighting, and I will do things your way, God. For you, the prayer might be something, again, very simple. Oh, Jesus, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit into me. Lord, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, those areas of my life that I'm rebelling against you, would you soften my heart that I may not rebel against you? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you're able, would you stand with us as we close out in this song?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when evening comes. Sing, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Your heart is kind. For all of your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Sing, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. On that day, on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praises unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Sing, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I will worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Father, this morning we worship your holy name. Father, we desire for our lives to be a blessing to you. And Lord, we ask for you to bless us, to guide us, to direct us, to give us divine appointments. Father, we thank you for the children that are promoting up to different grade levels. And Lord, we ask that you would bless those kids. Bless those parents, Lord. Give those parents and their teachers supernatural wisdom to raise them and to train them in your ways. Father, we pray for our two high school graduates that, Lord, you would go before them and protect them from the wiles of the enemy. And Father, may they follow hard after you. And Lord, we pray for our friends, Temple Vale. Lord, we ask that you would give them traveling mercies, that you would bless their next week as they minister to a youth camp. Father, may you bring forth much spiritual fruit from that time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hey, we have cake in the back, so please stick around, have fellowship. The cake is to celebrate all the kids. And then, of course, Temple Vale has their table. If you're a coffee fanatic, they've got lots of great coffee. There's CDs back there. And if you just want to support their missions work, there's stuff back there. God bless you all.